Hi, my name is Harry Etier, and you're listening to The Harry Minute. Follow us wherever you stream your podcast, and be sure to check me out on social media at Harry Etier. That is HARRYITIE. Welcome to another episode of The Harry Minute. I'm super excited to be back. My name is Harry Etier, and thank you for deciding to give this episode a listen. Y'all constantly show me love even when I'm inconsistent. Case in point, the last episode was in December. It truly warms my heart when folks message me and ask for new episodes because, you know, it's kind of validating. So I so much love it. Please don't stop. If I'm being honest, I haven't had a lot of motivation lately, and it has been due to various factors in my life. At the time when I brought the podcast back, I thought my life was going in a particular direction, but it turns out the universe had other plans for me, and now I'm on a new path. I will not pretend that it has been all sunshine and roses, because it hasn't, but I'm thankful for where I am right now. Things are looking up, I am happy. I'm in love. I'm very content with how my life is going, so I guess that's good. Another reason why I have been lacking the motivation to release new episodes is the sudden rise in podcasts this past year. Like, one of my biggest struggles is that I don't want to have a podcast for just having sake, you know? I want to contribute meaningfully to a particular discourse, you know? I want to add to the conversation, not just take up space by saying random nothings. And we know lots of podcasts have launched with folks just spewing BS left, right, and center. To each their own, but that is not where my head is. It's the reason why I changed my format in 2020 and invested in hosting the podcast on the Descent platform. A platform that, even though costs me an arm and a leg, elevates the podcast in general. But, you know, that's a story for another day. Maybe another podcast episode. I am saying all of this to say that bear with me. I'm figuring stuff out as I go along. Maybe I'll figure out what works and try to be consistent. Maybe I'll start a completely new show altogether. Maybe I will call it quits and leave the episodes online as an archive of some sort. Maybe I will take everything down. We will have to wait and find out. But yeah, I'm really thankful for all the support so far. It really, really does mean a lot to me. Even if it's one person that's still holding me down, that means a lot, because you could be holding someone else down, but you're holding Harry down. So I love that. It's funny that this episode is inspired by recent events, and I like how stuff can happen and it can inspire me to want to create or want to, you know, give my two cents, for lack of a better word. Because in this episode, I want to talk about allyship again. I had done an episode around allyship in January 2021, but I think recent events have made me decide to revisit the conversation. So if you're not aware, Kendrick Lamar released his album Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers on the 13th of May. Now, fans everywhere around the world praised the album, and with people calling it the best thing that he has put out since his last project. But this happens anytime a new Kendrick album comes out, so it's not very shocking. Like, you know, when he puts out something, people are like, yeah, this is the best thing ever. It happens all the time. So I wasn't like exactly surprised. I also want to add that I'm not the biggest hip hop or rap consumer, right? I listen to the genre where it intersects with R&B or pop music. And I'm not going to add the phase when I was into Christian hip hop and Christian rap, because I don't think that counts. But yeah, I think that my affair with hip-hop is very touch and go. I'm not a hip-hop head. Like, I cannot break down lyrics the way some people can, right? I'm smart. I'm not stupid. But you get what I mean. Anyways, folks are praising the album. You know, they have said it's a masterpiece. They have said that nobody's doing it like him right now in the music industry. And you know, I think everybody can agree that Kendrick Lamar is talented. Like, nobody can take that away from him. And even though I'm not the biggest consumer of his music, you know, I can't deny that he's a fantastic rapper and that all the praise he gets is well deserved, right? So it's just to establish that fact before I step in. So release day comes, the album is out, folks are sharing their thoughts as they listen, but a particular song of the project had some of his LGBTQ fans, and just I guess just LGBT folks in general, had them feeling some type of way. Now the name of the song is Anti-Diaries, and I won't be reading the lyrics of the song because I don't want to trigger anyone, but I think folks should check the song out. In fact, if you can pause this episode and listen to it first, I think it will make more sense. I get what he's trying to do with the song. I understand the intent of the song. It's kind of like taking us through his journey into unlearning his homophobia and his transphobia, right? So it's like he's like taking you on a journey through the song, which I think is pretty interesting, you know. And you know, artists have different ways of telling their stories. We see that, you know, whether it's in music or it's in film or whatever, you know, medium the artist is using to speak, there are ways that they use to express what they're saying to make it more realistic to the people that they're trying to reach, right? So I'm here for the message he was trying to pass with the song, especially coming from an artist who is like, you know, on top of the genre of music that is notoriously homophobic and transphobic, right? So it's kind of like a big deal. So I get it. But as with anything, you know, people are always torn. So you have some LGBT fans of Kendrick, right? Who think the song is the best thing to happen to the movement. They're like, oh my God, this song is so revolutionary. It's going to blah, blah, blah. It's going to change perceptions and all that type of stuff. And then there are folks, you know, some are also his fans, some are not, but people who see the song as problematic, right? Because of the song, he uses the F slur, right? The F word slur. And then he also misgenders two trans folks who he's referencing in the song, right? So he misgenders them, he uses the F slur, and then he even uses their dead names, right? And if there's anything we know about the trans experience, you know, these things are very important, because when you misgender someone, you're invalidating their experiences. When you dead name someone, you're invalidating their experiences. It's like trans 101, right? So yeah, that happened. Some LGBTQ plus folks pointed it out, you know, saying that he could have communicated his thoughts better with the song. First, he's saying, my auntie is a man now. Then he goes ahead to misgender them in some parts of the song. Also using the F word, which is a slur that, you know, holds bad memories for many queer folks, right? Whether no matter your sexual orientation or gender identity, someone has called you the F word at some point in your life. And it wasn't the best feeling, right? And they did not say it with love. They said it with hate, right? So it carries a lot of weight for people. There's a lot of trauma that it holds, right? And when people hear cishet folks use that type of language, it is not the best experience ever. And these are all valid concerns that folks are allowed to have. These are valid concerns because they are not coming from thin air. Do you get what I'm saying? It's the same thing with a white person using the N-word, right? There's history to that, right? And there's a lot of trauma attached to that word that many people are still carrying till today. So it is a very valid concern that why is this cis heterosexual individual using these words? Yes, he might be trying to pass a message. He might be trying to speak about an issue. But did you have to use the word to pass your message across, right? Do you have to be so graphic? Do you have to be so triggering because you want to pass a message, right? Regardless of the people who might listen to the song. Because there are LGBT folks who like Kendrick Lamar. There are people who are fans of his work, right? But we don't know what triggers folks. We cannot tell what triggers folks. And there's a need to be sensitive in how we use our words, especially when we know that art can be very subjective. And even what your intention might be misconstrued by anybody, whether they're straight, gay, trans, or whatever. I think what was most sad about this situation was on social media with folks, saying that, oh, you don't get the song, you don't get his artistry, you know, folks are looking for something to be upset about. So I'm upset that LGBT folks should be happy that Kendrick is speaking on these issues. You know, it was given very shut up and be grateful he's speaking for you homos, right? Now here's the thing. Two truths can coexist simultaneously, right? My friend will always say, we can walk and chew gum at the same time. Is it amazing that there's a mainstream hip-hop track calling out the discrimination LGBTQ people face? Yes, absolutely, right? Could it have been done better without the profanities and the misgendering? Yes, I think so. Has Kendrick started a conversation around homophobia and transphobia in the Black community? No, he has not. Black queer folks have been saying these things for years. The things that he's saying, whatever his experience is, Black queer folks have been talking about this for years. This is not new information. This is not some groundbreaking situation, right? People have been talking about their experiences. Some may not do it in a conscious rap way. Lil Nas X talks about his experiences as a Black queer person. He's not doing it in a very conscious rappy, in quotes, way, but he's doing it anyways, right? And then there are folks that are saying, oh, this is why y'all don't have any allies. This is why people don't like to ally with you guys. And many other stories like that. But the truth is, allies need to do better. There's a Twitter user, Kidin Sixth. I think that's her Twitter handle. And she said something that I feel folks should listen to, but many people are choosing to ignore. She said, and I quote, imagine a white rapper making a song about no longer being racist and saying N-word, N-word, N-word. I ain't no better. End of quote. I mean, if that happens, Twitter will have a meltdown. And it's very interesting that we understand this concept as it relates to race and as it relates to the fight for women's rights. But when it comes to queer folks, it's like all that reasoning goes out the window. We forget the pain that these words bring with them and throw them around and expect the marginalized group affected by the pain to be happy because at least someone is speaking for you people now. Allyship has to be intentional. It involves taking yourself out of the equation and centering the individuals you're advocating for. It is also not traumatizing them in the name of helping. I totally understand that creatives, creators, artists, whatever, you know, in general, like to take creative license, and it's allowed, but to whose detriment, right? Your creative license, will it do more harm than good in the long run? If it does more harm than good, then what's the point of your creative license? What was the point of doing any of this in the first place? What is most frustrating about this entire situation is that what should be a teachable moment for everyone has become LGBT folks are too sensitive. That's the conversation that we're having now. It's almost like queer folks aren't allowed to be fully human. So they have to shut up and accept whatever form of allyship they get, even when it can be better. It is funny because folks don't seem to see how problematic that is and how it is also a form of homophobia. The idea that we have let you all be, so you must exist according to a way that we deem acceptable without any complaints. It's like, we have made a seat for you at the table, so what more do you want? Just sit and eat your food. If you're going to ally, just do it well. Without the theatrics and the shock value, it doesn't help anybody. Ally without expecting a cookie in return. Without triggering and causing more pain for the folks you are trying to help. Allyship that is not done well does not help anyone. Trust me when I say it. I think at this point I should add that this episode is not exactly about Kendrick Lamar, but it's about the constant need to invalidate queer folks when they object to how an individual allies for them. Queer folks are allowed to say, no, this is not working, or this does not help us. They are allowed to say that. We cannot continue to invalidate queer folks when they object to something. We've seen it happen with Dave Chappelle over and over again. When they say this was wrong, people tell them, no, it's not wrong because. And the people that are saying it's not wrong are people that are not even in the LGBT community, people that are not even queer. What do you know about being queer? What has your experience been? Have you had to hide your identity so you can survive? Have you had to hide your identity so you don't get killed? Have you had to deal with the mental trauma that comes with living as a Black queer person in this world? Like, it is not a walk in the park. We have to stop it. There have been so many opportunities for learning with all the social justice movements that have happened since 2020. We can be better than this. I'm not trying to have a they versus them conversation. I just want everyone to think deeply about these things. Are you looking to cause real change? Or are you just looking to massage your ego? What's it gonna be? And that's the Harry Minute. Bye for now.